Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chong, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everybody, and much mahalo. This is Professor Gary Lee coming into your home like we've done for 6 years every Tuesday night, and we want to thank you, thank you for allowing us to do that. Tonight, I've got a great show, guys. I always talk about Hollywood and the memories of what we had in the past 70s and 80s, and tonight we have a very, very special show, one of Hollywood's elite stuntmen. But before I bring him on, as I always do, I always bring on my producer, the man that's responsible for that new book with Chuck on the cover. We're talking about Haunchy Jesse Bowen. Bowen, are you there, sir? Haunchy?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving for our Thanksgiving
Happy
show.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Are you going to eat lots of turkey?
Well, I'm going to try not to turn into my fitness kick here. I'm gonna do everything in moderation this year.
Are you? Okay. Well, I hope you're safe and eat lots of cranberry sauce and turkey. And tell my listeners about the book and your podcast and some of the exciting things that you do in the martial art world. Haunchy Jesse Bowen, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. Well, like I said, we are now into the second edition of the Chuck Norris book. It's going to be coming out on December the 12th. It was scheduled for the 5th, but, our publishing company, the holidays, and I didn't want a chance of not having it there. So our event now is December the 12th, and it is packed. We have Laura Silva, renowned transformational coach, Rob Robertson, Jim T. Chong. We have all these motivational coaches. You know, there's so much going on in the world, and we really feel that going into 2021, we need to be motivated. We need this positive push, and we're doing a whole weekend of gathering that energy, you know, for the Christmas holiday, for 2021. All these different motivational coaches, prosperity coaches, wealth coaches, business coaches. We're going to have Bill Superfoot Wallace on. He's going to be doing a training seminar. We have Jenna Thornton. She's a 28 world time martial arts champion, is going to be on. So we're going to have something for everyone. And then that evening, we go right into honoring Grandmaster Norris, release of the second edition of the Martial Arts Masters and Pioneers. And this book is 594 pages. So it is a monster of a book. It's the type of book that you keep for a lifetime. It's not one of those books you throw away. You know, it's not a magazine. This is a great book. It has, you know, Don Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, Joe Corley. It has people from all over the world, Latin America, Europe, telling their story of why they got involved in the martial arts and how the martial arts has motivated their lives. So it's not a book about how many trophies you won, all of those things, but it's telling that story, and that information is in there, but the big point is the story of why you get involved in the martial arts and how it goes about changing your lives. You know, right now, this is the upcoming week is the next, is the final week of our Authors Month, where we're interviewing martial artists that have written books, and they're sharing their story about why they wrote a book, you know, the process they went through, and all of that. And this is sponsored by one of our companies, which is Elite Publications. So if anyone is thinking about you would like to begin the writing process and become an author in 2021, then, you know, let us know, because we can help you on all levels to be able to write, publish, and be able to market your book to be able to do that. So, yes, sir, we got a lot of great things going on. The podcast is going great. We're introducing new products, new books, and all that stuff. You know, the book of Becoming Author is out. So we've got a lot of great stuff out there. Go to our website.
Yep.
DreamTheMarshals.com.
All people are asking that. You changed to December 12th now. You have the Sport Car Museum there. Are we going to be there all day, or how's it, what's the time level?
Yeah, well, you know, we have you on a schedule, so it's about like we did before. You can schedule your group. You can have a booth all day. You just tell me what you want to do, and you know, we'll work it out for you
day.
To be able to do.
I want the opportunity for people, our friends, to come in and just talk to us. So yeah, go ahead and plan
that booth
all day, sir.
Okay.
And I talked to Bill.
Bill's excited
about being there. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, and all the new people, Gina Thornton, golly bum. She's really gotten good. I'm really proud of her. So, well,
yes,
happy Thanksgiving to you, Jesse Bowen. You do a lot of work for us.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It so much.
No, thank you, sir. I appreciate you guys and, you know, the Sport Karate Museum and, you know, for all of our fans and listeners, you know, we're trying to help to make the world a better place and help people discover themselves. You know, we want to empower martial artists to inspire the world.
Now, if anybody wants to get in contact with you that's listening or listening to the show after we get on the Google, how would they get in contact with you, Jesse?
Jesse, you can do it through Facebook. You know, you can go to my page on Facebook. You can email me, and that's amaahoochoo@gmail.com. Go to our website, which is who'swhointhemartialarts.com. You know, check us out. If you're interested in becoming an author, you know, hey, visit our author's website, which is Elite Publications, and that's with an S, .com. I'm sorry, .org, elitepublications.org. And, you know, we'll share everything that we know for you.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, December 12th, and all the listeners out there, remember to contact Jesse Bowen if you're interested in getting involved with the book. And thank you, Auntie Bowen. Happy Thanksgiving. I mean that from the heart.
Well, thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Auntie Jess Bowen, my amazing producer that we've had for 6 years. And we're coming up on our 7th year, coming up in 2021. But before I introduce my very special guest tonight, I got to pump my two co-hosts. The one, the only one, the Wolverine, Dean Piles. Dean, are you there? I guess he's teaching right now. Dean?
Hey, Dean.
Okay, well, he'll be on, I'm sure. AJ, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
AJ Perry is from Cleveland, Ohio, guys. He's one of my advisors and spokesman for the military awards that we do every year. And AJ, how are you doing in Cleveland tonight?
Doing good. Doing good. How are you, Gary?
Is it snowing there? Is it snowing?
No, it's actually not too bad. It was like 50 degrees today.
Well,
I
want to plug it. I hate Ohio. You know that, don't you? I hate
the
snow.
You're a displaced northerner.
You're the only person I really enjoy about Ohio, besides Don DeVries and a couple other people. But God bless you. Now, Wolverine, are you there yet, or are you still teaching?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go. Okay, everybody, this is Dean Piles of Wolverine, and he's teaching class, so he's listening, and he's my co-host, my original co-host. Him and AJ keep me straight. So, guys, I'm excited about tonight. I've got the one and only one of the main stuntmen in Hollywood, been involved with some really incredible people, from Robert De Niro to John Travolta, and we'll be talking about some of the neat things. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce my special guest tonight, Rick Avery. Rick Avery, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Wow, Rick.
Hi, guys.
Thank you for being on our show tonight, and happy Thanksgiving.
Hello.
I said happy Thanksgiving, Rick. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now.
Okay. Okay, make sure you turn your mute off. You're not talking, but no sound background. That'd be helping us a lot. Thank you. Now, Rick, now let's talk about you trained with Dick Willett. And what year did you make black belt exactly?
1972 is when I made first degree black. And under Paul Wagner, and I had to spar Joe Lewis on that day to get a staff promotion at Dick Willett School. And it wasn't easy. I got my ass whooped, but you know what? It's something I can brag about today.
Yes, you can. Well, let me ask you a question. Now, you've done a lot of work in Hollywood, as I bragged about you a little bit before the show tonight. Tell me about some of the movies you've been involved with, please.
Well, I've got about 40 years of credits. Some of the more well-known movies, I guess, that I've worked on are movies like Titanic. I've worked on 4 Batman movies, superhero movies like Captain America and Ant-Man, stuff like that. A lot of major movies. I've probably got about 600 credits between movies and commercials and television shows, all the way back to Knight Rider and Fall Guy, and still presently active, doing stupid stuff.
See, that's exciting because I want to introduce some of my listeners who understand, you know, the process. Most of us in the 70s, we all had dreams. And one of the dreams that we all had was to go to Hollywood. And we thought we could be stuntmen or whatever. And we got involved with a lot of cool people. And some of the people that I knew very well that made it were people like James Liu, Jeff Mata, Hirokoda, Michael Chanaretabut, Craig Henderson. I mean, I can go on. I mean, amazing people. I mean, Richard Norton. I mean, amazing
Leonard Wayne.
People. Yeah, Leonard Wayne. I mean, Leonard goes way back. I won't mention him. He goes back to the 40s and 50s. But anyway, you know, we all had dreams. And one of the first people that I met that really helped me make decisions for me to make the right decisions. I didn't do stunt work, but I got coffee, Rick, for Adrian Barbeau, Farrah Fawcett, Mel Tillis, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., golly bum, a bunch of people, man. I mean, I was on the set with a movie called The Cannonball Run. You ever heard of Hal Needham? You know Hal?
I know Hal. Well, God rest his soul. Hal gave me my first job. And
he gave
actually,
me my first job, too, Rick. I got coffee for all those guys. And you know what? Remember Mel Tillis, the country singer? When him and Perry Bradshaw went into the swimming pool in the scene of the Cannonball Run, Hal asked me to get him out of the swimming pool. That was my credit.
Hey, Rick.
Tell
me more about Hal Needham.
What's that?
He was like iconic.
Well,
very
of course
iconic.
He was. I mean, he was the first stuntman to really become a director. He got an Academy Award besides Yakima Knut. Those are the only two guys that ever got recognized for that. I worked with Hal on Cannonball 2. And did most of the driving on that movie, doubling Joe Theismann and a lot of the other actors. So I was on the whole run of that show. And Hal was a screamer and a hell of a stuntman. And
Privilege. Was Leonard Wayne, and I believe when Hal was a John Wayne stuntman at one time too.
I don't know. I don't know if he doubled John Wayne or not. He had a ton of credits, and he goes back to the golden age of stunt work, which was back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yes, he was. He thought I was a little crazy, but he allowed me to get coffee for all those guys. Dom DeLuise, that's the guy I wanted to mention. Do you ever meet Dom DeLuise?
Well, I doubled Dom DeLuise in the Nuke Mobile as Captain Chaos, so I did a lot of driving him on that show. Yeah, he was a funny guy, great guy to hang out with.
He was. Him and Dean Martin and Burt Reynolds got together. It was so funny. It was so funny to see those guys off the set. It was so funny.
Yeah, I also doubled Dean on that movie driving the Corvette.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
cool.
So Alan Gibbs was the stunt coordinator on that show, and he was Hal Needham's right-hand man for many, many years. And he gave me the opportunity to do a lot of doubling on a lot of guys there. So it was a great experience for me.
That's cool. Now, we mentioned some other people earlier, like James Wu and Jeff LaMotta. You say you know those pretty good? I know James.
I've known both. Well, I knew James Liu and Jeff before they got in the business. We were all competing.
Yeah, they weren't quite. James used to do the broadsword, I remember. He was a badass with the broadsword. And he was, like I said, in the early days, as I mentioned, we all had dreams of coming to Hollywood. And, you know, the neat thing about I really respect about you, Rick, is I read some of your credits. Now, one of the things I read was you won a Red Bull Chorus Award. Tell me about that.
Well, Red Bull they've been trying to give stunt awards away in the Oscars for years, and the Oscars were the only craft that's not recognized by it, even though many stars are endorsing it.
Yeah, I think Brad Pitt helped that last year, right?
So Red Bull stepped up and has been sponsoring the Red Bull Taurus Awards, which gives awards for outstanding stunt work each year. And so I was fortunate enough to get one for one of the Batman movies.
That's congratulations.
Wow, cool. Now, you mentioned Batman. Did you ever meet Cheryl Wheeler?
No, I worked on Batman Returns, and then I did all of the latter Batmans, the more modern
Batmans. How about
Batman
Christine? Did you meet Christine Banner Rodriguez? Because I think she doubled for Batgirl or something, I forget.
Yeah, she worked probably on a different movie than I did.
Yes, sir. Now, let me ask a question, because people are asking me on the emails because they knew I was going to talk to you. How hard is it to get involved with stunt work in Hollywood? It's like knowing the right person or right people. How did you go about doing that?
Well, it's all in my book.
Yeah.
So,
book.
I'm not.
There you go.
I'm not. Yeah, my book is called A Life at Risk, and it goes in a lot of detail of. It's my biography and goes into a lot of detail on how I got into the business. But to make it kind of short and sweet, I got back in 1980. I tried getting in the 1970s, and I was unsuccessful for 4 years and quit trying and went out and became a cop. And while I was a cop, I met John Travolta on a call. And to make a long, long story short, I became his bodyguard and was in charge of his security details. And when he found out that I was trying to be a stuntman and that I had trained for 4 years, he immediately gave me the next job on a movie called Blowout in 1980, where I doubled him.
Oh,
and
I
doubled him
that
for the next 10 years.
That was a thriller. I remember he played a photographer, correct? A journalist?
A sound man.
Sound man, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how I got started. It was a little easier to get in the business back then because the stunt community was relatively small. Today,
right.
There's thousands of stunt people, and it's unless you're willing to live out of your car, so to speak, you're going
to
starve for about 8 to 10 years before you can make a living doing it. And so it's really tough to get in. And like you said, you just got to know the right people, and that's the avenue. Of course, you got to come in with the right talents as well. So when you
that's true.
And you need to train,
well, you know,
you
the problem
to,
with a lot of the martial arts in the 70s and even the 80s, they all thought because they were champions in martial arts in America, they could go to Hollywood and they'd be instantly become a star, which is a bunch of bullshit, as you know. You have to work your way up in everything. But some of the guys got really, I think, lucky. People like Michael Chan, Red Button, John Bolera, and, you know, a lot of cool people that were really good martial artists, good champions, and they got involved with the right people, and they got involved with the movie industry. So, did you ever meet Michael Chanarettabut and John Valera?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, they're from golly, but Michael Chat was from John Sharkey and the AKA, and John Valera was he actually was on with the Mortal Kombat live tour with me when I played Goru, and he played the main Chinese star. I forgot his name, Liu Kang. That's it, Liu Kang. Yeah, but you know, I was very lucky, Rick. I got involved with Six Flags after I left, you know, California, and Six Flags, I stayed with them for 35 years. They put me to Magic Mountain and Astroworld and Six Flags Over America, and they bounced me all around the country. It was a lot of fun doing that type of stunt work. I tell you what, though, I was scared shitless a couple times. They made me jump out of a helicopter one time into a big old, it was crazy. I was scared to death. You ever jumped out of a helicopter before?
I not only jumped out of them, I hung from them, and I've got 9,000 hours flying them. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm a helicopter instructor to go along with everything else.
Wow. Then you know how scared I was then. I mean, it was
Yeah,
was
I
scary.
Can understand that. I
but
can understand
I
that.
You know, I was just a martial artist who enjoyed doing, you know, little 30-foot high falls and stuff. And I remember when the guys from Totally Fun said, well, we want you to jump out of a helicopter. I said, you're crazy. And it was like a couple hundred feet. I was scared to death. I really was.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Rick, you know Rick Fike from Cleveland, Ohio? You know,
Stunt sure
Predators?
No,
yeah,
sure
done,
don't.
He's done a lot of the movies that have been filmed in Cleveland. All the Avengers and that. He's done a lot of, his team has done a lot of stunt work for them. I just wasn't sure if maybe you might have known him.
No, I've never, the only movie I worked on in Cleveland was Air Force One, the Harrison Ford movie.
Yeah,
that's the only time I've been to Ohio.
Well, don't brag about it because Ohio stinks.
Hey,
I hate it.
Hey.
Damn cold.
That's when the Browns were still there. Actually, it's funny. Then, I have one of the seats from the old Browns stadium because they were tearing it down when we were there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought it for $100.
The old, you know, the wooden ones, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Those
are valuable.
Yeah, I hope so.
Cleveland Browns, didn't they play basketball, AJ, or they played ping pong? Who was the Cleveland Browns?
Hey,
I forgot.
Hey, them fighting words.
Yeah, they're a ping pong champion, I think, Cleveland Browns. I remember, yeah.
They're playoff, probably in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, they're doing well.
What, 7-3, I believe.
Again,
that
was AJ Rick. Yeah, he's from Cleveland, Ohio, so we can make fun of him a little bit, being a Yankee and all. Were you born in California?
I was born in New York. Sorry,
what? Rick, where are you born at, buddy?
I was born in New York City and then moved out to California when I was 13.
Oh, wow. You're a New Yorker. Cool. I understand. You know, when I first came to the mainland, I wasn't the smartest guy in the world. A couple of people called me and said, you know what? You're from Hawaii, but you got a New York attitude. And I go, what the hell is a New York attitude? And I got close to some of my friends from New York, and I realized that he's just being, I guess, skeptical on a lot of stuff. But I don't mind being called having a New York attitude, but that's what they used to call me a long time ago. But you ever go back to New York?
I've gone back there to work on movies and shows. I think the last one I worked on was with Bob. I think that was The Intern, I think, was the last thing I worked on with him there.
I want to ask you, because I've been dying to ask you since we were going to talk. What's it like working with Robert De Niro? How cool is that?
Well, he's I've been doing a lot of movies. I did a lot of movies with him. And we've got two coming out this month and last month. We're going to be working on one. I just got the text today in January. And he's wonderful to work with. He's a very, very, very quiet man. And if you ever watch him on TV interviews, you'll see that. You know, he doesn't really start the conversations, and he's happy to talk to anybody as long as they got something to say. But I see him as being a little shy until the cameras roll. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, sir, I do.
You know, there's a lot of comedians that are like that. You know, until they stand up and get funny, they're quiet and people, and they're gentlemen. And I've really enjoyed doubling him. He's a real pro. He's always supported me as I have supported him in the action sequences that I've had to do for him.
Wow, that's cool. Now, did you ever meet Mr. Eastwood? Because I met him.
I worked. It took me forever to work with him, but I worked with him on an American Sniper. And
well, you know what's
probably
cool about Mr. Eastwood? I met him in Hollywood when I roasted Bob Wall. And I remember walking up to him. He was with Morgan Freeman and Hilary Swank. They were working on the movie Million Dollar Baby. And I walked up to him. He didn't know me from a hill of beans. And, you know, I was doing my event there at the Hilton. And I said, Mr. Eastwood, may I have your autograph? And he was so cordial. And then I asked him, I said, sir, may I ask you a question? He said, yes. I said, what makes a great actor? And he goes, a good listener. And I never forgot that. And I took it to Six Flags. And, you know, I worked my career on what he said because, I mean, I idolized him. I think Mr. Eastwood was a great, great, great actor, great director, and great role model for up-and-coming people who wanted to get involved with Hollywood, without a doubt. That's cool. Now, well, I tell you what, Rick, let me ask you another question. Are you married?
Nope. I have
not
a girlfriend.
Married. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you got any kids? Or?
I do. I have three kids.
Boy or girl?
I have, my daughter's the oldest, and she used to be a deputy sheriff, and now she's becoming a dean at a college. My two boys.
Where was she
Brian,
deputy
Brian
sheriff?
What's that?
Where was she a deputy sheriff?
L.A. County.
Good for her. God bless her.
Yeah. Then my oldest
son.
Now,
are you a granddaddy yet? Has she brought a grandkid to you yet?
Yeah, I've got three grandkids.
Cool.
Did I say three? I mean four. I got four grandkids. My two sons were both stuntmen. One of them's in Atlanta right now working, and they're just carrying on the tradition. And, yeah.
That's cool. Now, before you got involved with stunt work, did you ever do tournaments or compete or anything?
I did.
You
did? I did
a
lot of stunts.
Tell me about that.
I did kata. I did a lot of fighting. That was back in the time of Howard Jackson and Aaron Norris and those guys.
I was with Howard. I miss him every day. He was my buddy.
So I was good friends with a lot of those guys. I had a karate school in Santa Barbara, and I used to go to L.A.
Oh, cool.
And Las Vegas a lot.
Now, you're
almost
a Kempo
every
guy,
weekend.
Correct? Aren't you a Kempo?
That's correct.
Oh, cool. Now, were you under the old man, Mr. Parker, or
yep.
were you okay,
I was.
Cool. So you're American Kempo. Cool.
That's correct.
Well, then you must know Bob, my buddy Bob White, John Conway, and those guys, huh?
Bob White is a very, very good friend of mine, and John Conway. I see them. I see Bob at least once a year. I was supposed to do a talk for his last banquet, but yeah, he put me up for an award last year, and he's just a fabulous guy. Was really a tough fighter back in my
life. Next time you see Bob,
fortunately,
give him a hug.
Fortunately, he was
in
a different weight class than me.
Yeah, Bob is one of my dear friends because he's very close to Mike. You know, me and Mike Stone are pretty close. And Bob White is one of the true Kimple guys. And Ty, did you know John Sepulveda and Neil Harden?
I know John Sepulveda really well. He's a great guy. And John the Tivy Dad. I fought John one
John
time.
The Giant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's done better. He's got going through some heart stuff, but he's in a good spirit. And, you know, we talk probably about twice a week.
Yeah. No, he's great. Say hello to him. We did a feature match for Kim Kahana a long time ago. And
oh, you know Kim,
you know,
too? Cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim had the first
known
time school in Hollywood. Him and Yashima. Him and Tadashi.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I know the whole family. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kim has been my friend for a long, long time, too. And, you know, he's one of my first history journals for the Sport Karate Museum. And, you know, golly bum, I'll tell you a funny story. He came to the grand opening, him and Mike Stone did. So my wife went to go pick up Mike, and then we went to pick up Kim, and he got lost at the airport. And he got a car. I said, Kim, don't get a car. We'll pick you up. He went about 30 miles away from the hotel. We had to say, Kim, stay where you're at. My wife would go pick you up. We had to go pick him up in Richmond, drive the car back to the rental place in the airport. And then I said, told my wife, I said, you know, let Kim out of your sight. Because I think he was 80 at that time. You know, he was close to 79 or 80 years old. And golly bum, I love Kim Connor. He's a great guy. He's got a something school now in Florida, you know. Yeah.
Well, he's just getting ready to start it up again, is what I just heard.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, the neat thing about Kim Kahana is that back in the early days, you know, when him and Tadashi was doing it, there wasn't a lot of people involved with it. Like you said, you had to know the right people at the right time, I guess. But they made a lot of connections. I think he was the stunt double for Charles Bronson. Is that correct?
Probably yeah, on a couple of pictures, he doubled Charles. And, yeah, Tadashi, I studied with Tadashi Yamashita, learning nunchaku and tonfa and the bow, all three weapons from him. And I was really privileged to be able to do that.
Oh, he's such a treasure. A few years back, we got together in Gatos, California. He hadn't seen me in 50 years. And, you know, the first thing he said to me was, are you still crazy? I said, yes, sir, I am. And, you know, he really started a lot of things in America, from sword cutting, you know, watermelons on people's chests to being in the octagon with Chuck. I mean, he was an amazing, amazing martial artist.
Yeah, and he should talk about being crazy because he's crazier than most. But I got to tell you.
Oh, I know. I talked to Jack Long
of the tough
and Mr. Harrison and Ed Daniel and all those guys used to hang out with him back in the old day. Yeah, he was a little crazy too. He was.
Yeah, well, I tell you
right.
What, though, he's one of the toughest men I ever met.
Yes. Well, you know, I heard some stories from Richard, Mr. Norton, that on the Octagon, that Tadashi was an animal, you know. Yeah. And did you know what I'm talking about, the Octagon with Chuck and Tadashi and Richard Norton? It was a
I remember that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't go nowhere. I've got a little couple commercials I got put on. Then we'll come back. We're going to play the Legends Name Game. Okay, Rick?
Okay.
Okay, buddy, hang loose. I'll be right back.
Hanging loose.
Ladies
okay.
and gentlemen, I'm talking to Hollywood's elite stuntman Rick Avery, and I'm so excited about talking to him about some of the people that we know and the things he's been involved with, and we'll be right back with him. And we'll be talking to him with the Legends Name Game, and we're hitting him some names that I'm sure that he'll be able to talk about them. But right now, I'll talk to the one and only Dean Piles. Dean, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
okay, let's talk about Macau a little bit. Now, this is a movie that you wrote and you worked on it from day one, and we had to put a delay on it a little bit because of the pandemic. Well, you got some incredible group of people working with the movie. People like Dan Severin, Michael DePasquale, AJ Perry, Golly Bum. I mean, a lot of cool people, man. From Ogle Gold.
Yeah, Ernest the Cat Miller.
Yes. And Kathy Sewell, I believe. And
AJ Perry.
Newman,
we have Alan Bruce Kelly, House. Rob Buckland.
Okay, right now. Tell me where the coward is. What's going on?
Well, actually, we just got done talking to some of the film crews today, and we're going to be scheduling some shots coming up here in Alexander City, probably around the 13th or so of December. So we'll be going in and doing some of the filming then. We worked stunt fighting today for about 5.5 hours. Some of the weapons fight scenes, and then, you know, the empty-handed scene, you know, just sharpening everything up and really, really taking those fight scenes to an extreme. You know, we want
them
to be really good, and
we're
we're not using any CGI in any of the fight scenes or anything like that.
What are we looking at, 2021 or 2022 for the release?
Well, that'll be up to the production companies and things like that. That I don't, you know, I don't really have anything to do with that. But that'll be up to editing and all that, and how it goes with the coronavirus and what we're doing. So a lot of the places that we're working on, you know, we have our COVID-19 expert, which is, you know, working for SAG, and he's also certified with the WHO. So, you know, he's doing all that. He's working on several shows right now. So. We're learning a lot from them and a lot of the things that they're going through and making sure that we don't go through any of that so that we don't have to be spending money in areas we don't need to be spending money, just wasting it on COVID testing and things like that. And we want to keep everybody as healthy as possible, you know, so we don't have people getting sick, you know, and so we don't have to, you know, shut production down and we can get things done and filmed in a timely manner, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question because a lot of people ask me this. What's it like having Dan Severin as a bad guy? Because he's such a sweetheart when you know him.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, Dan is a sweetheart if you know him, but if you ask Hoyce Gracie, is he sweet, or some of the people that he has been on top of pounding, they probably wouldn't say the same thing. But, you know, it's just awesome. Me and Dan go way back. Even to the Valley Tudo fights in Virginia, he used to come down and watch them, you know, and things. He actually saw one of my students was in a Muay Thai fight, and my student threw a jump side kick and broke a guy's cheekbone. And Dan was like, I've never seen anybody throw a jump side kick in a Muay Thai fight. And, you know, he said, that was great, man. He landed that hard. And I was like, yeah, that's what we do. But, we talk a lot. He's, like you say, he is a great guy. He's a very nice person, you know, and it's going to be awesome. You know, it's going to be a good contrast,
Dean,
him and I.
Dean, you know, he babysitted Garrett when he was 7 years old. He is a sweet guy, but he, you know, he's an animal, too. They used to call him the Beast, remember?
That still do.
They still call him the Beast. Cool.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Now, let me ask you another question. The Coward is labeled a bully movie. What makes The Coward a different movie than these other bully movies like The Martial Art Kid and The Karate Kid and whatever? What makes The Coward different?
Well, for one, you know, I mean, both of those movies, I mean, if you look at The Martial Arts Kid, it was pretty much the same take as The Karate Kid, but just different people. You know, and then kind of rearranged a little bit. But it's a story about, those stories are about a young kid that interjects himself into somebody else's relationship, and then the other people kind of get cast as the bully, although they were just kind of taken up for themselves at the time. So the difference in this is Mark Stone is a veteran. He's a martial artist that's trained his whole life. But he's made some promises and done some things, and he's not using what he's trained to do, because he made some promises, and, you know, he's an adult, and he's an adult being bullied, and it had nothing to do with the relationship or interjecting himself into relationships. He was just singled out, and that's just one of the things that happen, and that happens in life all the time. And, you know, the thing about our movie is bullying is going on all the way across the United States, and I think this movie is going to help a lot of people understand, you know, what bullies go through, because in our movie, we don't just, we're not just about the bully, but it's about the effect that bullying has on everybody, not just the person being bullied, but their family, their friends. Not only that, but the bully themselves and kind of how they come about into being into play. So you'll see a lot of that and where people come from and where people are up in the end of the movie. It's going to be good.
You're fading out a little bit.
It's going to be great.
You're talking closer. You're fading out a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, one more thing, little brother. Now, I want you to have a happy Thanksgiving, but the most important thing is that, you know, that you stay safe. Now, you're also the state representative for SetVR. Now, stay tuned because I got Dr. Lee on, and I'm very proud of you and AJ because AJ's representing Ohio, and you've taken over Florida. So with that said, Dr. Lee, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. How are you today?
Well, we got Dean Piles and AJ on the line, and also Mr. Rick Avery. So explain to everybody what the hologram experience is.
Yes. My partner, Richard Shanahan, and my developers and I are super excited about SetVR, a self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality as a platform where one can practice your skills in self-defense whenever and wherever you want. The program is compact and portable. You can take it anywhere you travel. Even during an event of a pandemic that's occurring right now, you can continue to practice while even practicing your social distancing. With the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The important goal of SetVR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. You'll be able to practice to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, or circular movements to avoid and to place you in an opportunistic position out of vantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, accuracy, as you develop what's called muscle memory. And subsequently, my goal is to develop what I call a reflex response to a threat or stimulus to neutralize without hesitation. As you know, with any kind of confrontation, even out in the street, the important thing is to react and to react without hesitation. This is a platform whereby you can practice and utilize what you have been taught in techniques in your katas and forms for a program for application against a threat or stimulus that is random, a random attack, and you can practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. We're planning to update our programs whereby you have multiple attackers, a scenery in regard to having a home invasion or even a barroom setting. SetVR will push you maximally to your limits in self-defense. We've recently updated our program with kicking, punching, and combination, and with knife attacks. We plan to have future updates with random virtual matches whereby you can confront your opponent. Say, Professor Garrett Lee can confront the Wolverine or AJ in a confrontation at different locations or around the world. You'll be able to practice your skills. Yes. Yes, AJ?
I'll put it in two words.
Yes.
It's fun. It's fun.
Yes, it is fun. Because you had,
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yes. So, besides fun, what do you think about the program itself in general?
Well, not only being interactive and being able to, you know, at different levels, you know, beginner, intermediate, advanced. It's an awesome training tool. And
yeah.
I couldn't wait to do it when in South Carolina. And when I got an opportunity to do it, I was so amazed. And not only of the interactiveness, but the reality. It's just totally amazing.
Exactly. It puts you in a realm whereby you're confronted, and then you have to utilize your techniques and to apply it. So you can apply any programs that you have, whether it's kung fu, karate, ninjutsu, aikido, whatever, and to use it as a platform
Dr. Lee?
Yeah.
You know what works best with it? It's Tangsudo. Tangsudo works best with it.
Yes.
Best with it than anything.
That's
what is Tangsudo? Is that sushi? Tangsudo sushi?
Oh, it works the best. Honest to God.
I'm glad you experienced it. I appreciate your comments, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad it was fun. It's not only that; it's a great aerobic program, as you know. It's a great workout, especially in a pandemic, and you need some place to work out, and you know you're in a closed in situation. Just pull out the headset, and then you're there. You have your platform. So we continue to update our program and help you practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. So we are continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform for his vision of the history portal. So if Professor Gary Lee can talk to the audience about his vision for the history portal. Professor Gary Lee.
Well, I get excited about this every time we talk, every week. And I get excited about it every time. So here we go. You guys, get into my mindset. Imagine a Okinawa or Japanese village, and you got a storefront where you can go in and you can purchase things. We'll have everything from bottoms to clothing to swords to whatever. But every time you go in, you get smarter. You'll be asked questions and answers will be given to you, like, who is Chuck Norris? What is judo? Who invented Taekwondo? Who's responsible for Tangsudo, or whatever that style is, whatever? Who is A.J. Perry? Who is Dean Pyles? Whatever. We'll have start with 50 questions, and the person that's in the hologram experience will get smarter and smarter and smarter. Eventually, it'll go out into the forest away from the village, and the hologram will appear. It may be a judo guy, a karate guy, a taekwondo guy, whatever. And you have to defend yourself, and you do. They remind you you've answered questions, and you're getting smarter and smarter, and you just defeated the hologram. Well, then a wisdom warrior will appear. We're going to ask, well, Mako's gone, but we're going to probably get Mako, my old sword instructor. He'll come out, and he'll say, okay, A.J. Perry, are you educated? And A.J. will go, yes. And Mako will look at him and says, I'm sorry, A.J., you have to go back. So A.J. has to go back. He has to learn who Jun Ri is. Who is Jean LaBelle? Who invented Kung Fu? What is the difference of Kung Fu and Kung Fu? Whatever. We're going to start with 50 questions and work up to 500. So you're going to become very, very, very smart. So eventually work out yourself back out into the forest. This time the hologram appears as a samurai with a katana, you know, a long sword, a wakizashi or a gunto, a short sword, and a tanto. And you have to defeat it with Okinawa weapons, like a tampa or a sai or nunchucks or a bow. You're getting smarter, and you defeat the samurai. Now Mako appears, and he says, okay, AJ, are you educated? And this time you are. He grabs your hand, leads you to a golden gate. And when you open the gate, the portals will appear. Now, portals are things you can go into and learn about everything there is about whatever portal you go into. We're going to start with a few portals that people remember. People like Mike Stone, Alan Steen, Rick Wiggins, rest in peace. Jim Harrison, rest in peace. Jerry Smith, Alan Steen, just to mention a few, will work up to all the history generals eventually, but you've earned the right to learn about all these incredible history generals by defeating the hologram and working to learn about education and the education of history in the martial arts. So we're excited about this, Dr. Lee, and I'm excited about A.J. Perry and Dean Pyles representing Ohio and Florida, respectively. And we're getting representatives all around the country, slowly but surely. but something we need to talk about. This, the platform is the Oscar's Quest, and you can receive the Oscar's Quest through Walmart, or Costco, or Best Buy. But to get the SetVR.app, you have to go to Dr. Lee. And I remind you, type in SetVR.app, A-P-P, and you'll see what we're talking about. Now, Dr.
The one
Lee.
This is here.
Sir?
The rep from Texas is here.
Oh,
the representative
of
Texas.
Is that with Billy Sweeney?
Yes, Billy Sweeney.
Hi, Billy Sweeney.
Billy.
It's Dr. Lee. I just spoke with you earlier.
Yep.
Cool. Well, we got Dean, Billy Sweeney, and A.J. Perry. So we got Texas, Florida, and Ohio, and we're working on other states, and we're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And the hologram experience is going to be the most talked about thing, I believe, in 2020 and 21. And I thank you guys for letting me be a part of it. Dr. Lee, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, sir.
Yes, thank you, sir. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And I want to thank our representatives that are on board with us with SetVR. We really appreciate it.
Nick and Day and Vince. Yeah. And Rick Shanahan, if you're listening, buddy, I love you too, buddy. God bless you. Now, did you have a good time in Greenville, Dr. Lee?
Yes, I did. It was super exciting. We were able to showcase our program. I was glad that A.J. Perry was able to have it on. I'm glad you have the Oculus Quest that's loaded up for you, so you can see the actual being in the virtual platform, not only in martial arts, as you mentioned. You jumped off a plane, and you were in a revolutionary war, in a battle.
I jumped off a plane at 30,000 feet.
Yeah.
Let's be serious. And it was real, and I was scared. I was scared to death. And then they put me in a fight between the British Army Redcoats and the Patriots in 1776. Bullets were flying past my head. I said, there's got to be a way for the museum to be involved. And here come along Shanahan, Dr. Lee, and the developers. God bless you guys. So you guys are the good guys. Remember this now. Eat lots of turkey, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, and remember, be thankful for what you guys have got.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for everybody. Thank you.
God bless you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was the one and only Dr. Reginald Lee and the inventor of the SetVR.app. If you want to check it out, please go to SetVR.app, and it'll explain a little bit. And for more information, you can also go to www.sportkarateMuseumArchives.com. And that's the website for the Sport Karate Museum, which is 30 years old. And we've been around a long time, so we appreciate your effort and your attitude to what we do as far as supporting the history. And we have a motto to support the history one warrior at a time. And speaking of a warrior, we've got a great warrior on the show tonight. Rick, are you there?
I'm still here.
Okay, I know that was the first time you probably heard about the SetVR.app, but I want you to look at it when you hang up from me. Check it out, because you'd be perfect for passing on the knowledge and maybe some of your friends, because this hologram with the SetVR will attack you, Rick. It will attack you. It will grab you, throw punches and kicks at you, and you have to literally defend yourself. And you can be a seasoned veteran like yourself, or you can be someone who just wants to learn how to defend themselves. Yeah, AJ. Are you interrupting me again?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, I am, because you need to be interrupted. You know, not only it's a great training tool, but, you know, these kids that are sitting there playing on their telephones, you know, on their little cell phone all the time, this is a great tool for them to get activity, because they can be interactive with it, not only just playing on their, you know, cell phone.
What a good point.
They can be
interactive. That's a good point coming from you. Thank you so much, because that's true. Because kids today, they don't go outside enough, but if they stay inside, they need to do something productive. And I think SetVR.app is a good production tool.
You know what they need to add to that, Dr. Lee, is maybe add on the app, a virtual dojo where the kids can go in and do some strength training, some push-ups or some stuff like that, and do some basic punches and things like that to practice their self-defense moves before they go out into the, and be attacked.
That's great. I'll bring it to my developers. That's a great idea.
Little warm-up.
We'll bring it up to my warm-up program.
Well,
absolutely.
We're adding stuff all the time. We're going to add the MMA aspect, too, about, going maybe a rotate Saganagi or Ippon Saganagi or sweep or, so you're totally you're totally aware of your surroundings. And that's after all.
Yeah, you can have the Wolverine workout there, Dr. Lee.
There we go.
Great.
That's funny.
Yes. Thank you.
That's a good idea, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Well, you guys remember this. Be thankful and remember that the Wolverine, A.J. Perry, and Professor Lee really love you guys out there that are listening to us. And, the reason why I have these great interviews is because of Hunchy Jesse Bowen and his vision of supporting the Sport Karate Museum. Now, Rick, I want to play the legend's name here with you. This is something that I invented with our good friend Bob White 6 years ago. This is where I say a name, and you got 2 minutes to talk about them, yay or nay, whether you like them or not. Just talk about them, and I'm going to throw my 2 cents in. Okay, so first one, Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris. I love Chuck Norris. I got to tell you that I worked with Chuck on many Walker Texas Rangers. I did a lot of fights with him. His son, Eric, is a really good friend of mine. And Eric directed a lot of the episodes that I worked on with him. And Aaron Norris, who was the producer and also directed some episodes. I'm a friend of the whole family, and I have nothing but good stuff to say about him.
Well, I got to tell you a story. I hitchhiked to the very first Chuck Norris UAC tournament in Warren, Ohio, okay? And it was so cold, it was snowed, and Chuck allowed me to compete in that tournament. And the judges, are you ready? Leo Fong, John Tivadad, Aaron Norris, Chuck, and a man named Ted Bollard, who's gone now. But those are my 6 judges, and Chuck, he allowed me to compete even though I was late. And I hitchhiked out there from California. And, it was crazy, Rick. But Chuck is a really good friend of mine, too. Him and Gina are really good, good people. And, I got to mention one more thing. I've got the bullet that Chuck shot J. Pat Burleson with on Texas Walker Ranger that was given to me by J. Pat. Can you believe that? The bullet. Isn't that cool? I've got some cool stuff in the museum. But I got another name for you. Ready? We talked about it earlier. James LeLou, the great stuntman out of Hollywood.
Yeah, he's getting to be old now.
Isn't he?
I said, no, I'm saying that with tongue in cheek. I love James. He's a very, very, I can say a lot of varies. He's a very close friend of mine. As a matter of fact, I'm missing a Stuntman's Association meeting right now. We're both in the same association. So as soon as I hang up here, I'm going to be over there seeing James. And, he's an extremely, extremely talented man with a wonderful outlook on life, has great experience in the stunt business. And I've never met a guy that has a more positive outlook to go along with his talents. So,
he was so talented, and he was one of the first guys, I believe, from our martial art community that really made a good name in stunt work in Hollywood. He was one of the first guys.
Yeah, he started out with the Kung Fu series years ago.
Yes, exactly. With Ken Yuen and those guys. Yeah, exactly. Cool. Okay, how about Cynthia? Did you meet, Cynthia Rothrock?
Yeah, I've had Cynthia here over to my house for a couple of parties on a few occasions. Her and Benny Urquides would come over, and I still see them at banquets and get-togethers like that. And yeah, she's still doing great.
Well,
she's,
you know,
still
what?
Looking
I love
really
about Cynthia. Whenever I talk to Cynthia, you know, I took third place to her at Leo Fong and Ron Martini's tournament, where she won her first Grand Champion. It was 1984, I think it was. And that was before China O'Brien and all the movies and stuff. But she's a sweetheart. And, you know, she's like Chuck. Through all the years, through all the fame and everything, she hadn't really changed. She's still the sweet lady she was. Now, you mentioned another guy with Cynthia just a minute ago. His name is... Yeah, Benny. I got to talk about Benny. Now, Benny and Sarah are dear friends, too. Now, you mentioned Benny. I met Benny with Golly Bum. Remember Tony Tellners and Frank Smith?
Yeah.
Remember those guys? Okay.
Yeah.
I met them at Tat Kabuto's dojo when I got lost. I was supposed to go to Bonzo Han's dojo and meet Tom Lapin after the Billy Jack series. And I got lost. And I ended up at Tat Kabuto's dojo. And who walked in first was Tony Tellners and Frank Smith. And then immediately after it was Benny, Arnold, Alfred, Golly Bum Ruben, Lily, and Blinky all walked in. And that's how I met Benny and everybody the first time. I was, Golly Bum, I was 15 years old. I was just a baby. But Benny's a good guy. What a great champion.
I fought Benny only one time in the San Fernando Championships, and the whole family was there. And I had been watching Benny fight since I started karate. So I walked up to him when we bowed to each other. And it's interesting enough, I said to him, I've been waiting. I said the wrong thing. I said, I've been waiting for this for a long time. What I meant to say was, I've been watching you for a long time. And so we actually went into triple overtime, and it's my honor to say I lost to Benny Urquidy and had the opportunity to fight him, and he's one of the most wonderful people I've ever met. I've had him to my home, I've been to his gym many times, and he's just a fantastic, positive person who feels that the thing that we're losing in the martial arts today is the spirit. He's kind of against what the MMA is representing, where we don't have you know, that type of spirit that we used to have before. But otherwise, the greatest fighter of all time, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, Benny was amazing. He still is, as far as spirit-wise. And, you know, anything I love about Benny and Sarah is that through the years, again, like Chuck and Cynthia and people like Richard Norton, they haven't changed. They're still the people they were. I knew what I knew in the 70s and early years. I mean, it was amazing how, you know, you think people would change because of money or fame or whatever, and they really deserve all they got, but they haven't changed. I mean, they really are the sweet people I met when I was just a kid, and I was a kid. I was young and stupid from Hawaii, you know. I mean, you mentioned another person that is my idol and my hero, and I talk to him twice a week, and, you know, I love him so much, John Natividad.
He was such a pretty fighter, if you could put some those two words together. That guy was so fantastic with his feet, and good-looking man, a wonderful man. I'm proud to say that I knew him, and I hope he gets through his stuff he's having to get through today. But John Natividad, what a legend himself.
Yes. You know, we roasted him last year in Las Vegas, and Golly Bum, I had Mr. Iberia and Jim Buten and Roy Curvin and Ron Marcini and Chet Merriman. I had the crew people coming in to roast John. It was a lot of fun. And I got one more for you, Rick, before I got to go. And the great, legendary, first superstar of America, Mike Stone.
Well, I went to Mike Stone's wedding years and years and years ago. And, you know, he was part of the Tadashi Yamashita and Glenn Robago regime back then. And
Well, he's been in the Golden Fist and the Four Seasons tournament.
Yeah,
he was an amazing
I fought in all that stuff. And Mike Stone, what a legend, what a wonderful man. And, again, all the names you're bringing up are just wonderful, wonderful people and represented the martial arts.
Well, you know what, Rick? You know, the thing about it is I'll share with my listeners and I'll share with you. I am not a name dropper, but the people.
Oh, yes, you are. You just did.
Well, no, I grew up on the laps of these guys. You understand? I mean, it wasn't just I used their name. That's what I'm saying. I know them as a personal friend, and that's what's important to me personally. That's why the museum has been successful for 30 years. It's not because of Gary Lee. To hell with Gary Lee. It has to do with you guys. And that's the most important thing.
Not to blow smoke, Gary, but it takes one man like yourself to put all that together. And so, go ahead and pat yourself on the back because you deserve it.
Well, I really can't do that because you know why, Rick? I still see myself as a little kid in Hawaii looking over the ocean and seeing the mainland. I mean, I know it sounds kind of creepy, but it's the truth. I remember I used to sit on the ocean right there in Honolulu, and I'd look over the ocean. I could see the mainland. Is that crazy? But I could see it from all the pictures I saw in the books and everything. And then coming to the mainland at a young age of 14, I got involved with some really cool people, and I was very lucky. So thank you for being on the show tonight, Rick. It's been very, very special. And how would people get in touch with you if they wanted some consulting or just get some advice?
All my information, guys, is at rickavery.net. And rickavery.net covers everything. You can order my book through there, or you can get my book at rickaverybook.net as well. But all that information is at rickavery.net. And phone numbers, address, all that stuff's there.
Cool. Well, I want to thank you again, Rick, for giving me your Tuesday afternoon or evening and sharing with my few thousand listeners that we have. And thank you, AJ. Thank you, Wolverine. And I love Billy's
great
you,
Rick.
He might not be on there anymore. And Dr.
I'm
Lee,
here.
Thank you. Hey, Billy.
Thank you, sir.
Anyway, I want you guys to check out setvr.app and see the idea of the portals and the museum at www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. On behalf of the AMAA Radio and the Masters and Legends Network, this is Professor Gary Lee. As we always say every week, aloha and mahalo. Good night, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thank you.